going to read just part of a verse in Romans again, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we're going to read five words, and I just want you to think about three of them, okay? So just we're going to leave you with three words tonight from Romans 15 and verse 5. Just the first five words, it says, "Now the God of patience." Okay? So don't worry about the first two words. I'm sure five is not too hard to remember, but we're just going to make you remember three. Okay, so I just want you to remember this phrase, the God of patience. The God of patience. This is maybe a little bit unusual. Maybe it's just mentioned kind of in passing sometimes when the gospel is spoken. Because a lot of times you'll hear about God's love. You'll hear about God's grace, his mercy maybe. But I want to talk to you tonight and emphasize and magnify God's patience. I'm going to actually correct that. Not just God's patience, but the God of patience. Okay, because he's not just a God who, from time to time, he can display patience. Now, better clear this up for the younger ones. We're not talking about God in the context of a doctor and he has patience. We're talking about God and his, another word for it might be long-suffering, or there are offenses, there are things that people sometimes can do against God, and God deals with them graciously. God withholds something that they maybe deserve. And you and I know a little bit about that sometimes. We can show patience or we cannot show patience. That is, somebody can maybe do something very small to us and we explode. Okay, that's me not showing patience. Me showing patience might be, an example of it might be, maybe I've just washed my car and somebody comes along and they throw a bunch of mud on it. And I just kindly smile at them and I say, "Can you please not do that again?" That would be me showing patience towards them. Whenever it comes to God, this is what it says about him. Not that God shows patience, although he does. It says that he's the God of patience. Okay? Just thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, it kind of amazed me because you and I, whenever we show patience, sometimes it's because we don't really have a full clear view of the person that we're showing patience to. Okay, so back to the example of that car that I cleaned and someone comes along and I see them, they hit it with mud maybe. All I know is that that person put mud on my car, and so I show patience. I may not show patience to them if I knew that they intended to do that. Someone comes along and they jump in a mud puddle and I'm so sorry, I didn't realize your car was there, and they splash mud on it. If I knew the intent that they had, maybe that person thought, "I'm going to get their car dirty because I saw them wash it and I just want to do that to them." If I knew that, maybe I wouldn't have quite as much patience, would I? I probably would explode. See, the thing about God, whenever we say that he's the God of patience, I want you to think about this first, is that he's the God of patience, but that's in full-on clarity. God knows everything, and God sees everything. Everything that you and I do, everything that everyone does, every thought that you and I have, every intent that you and I have, God doesn't need glasses because God can see perfectly, and he knows exactly what the intent was. He knows exactly what the thought was. You think about that. He's described as the God of patience, and he knows everything. And he sees everything. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? That he deals so graciously, and we're going to get to this a little bit more at the end, just for a minute or two, but he deals so graciously and loving with people, and he has a full, clear view. He knows all about them. Now, I want to just go through a few things here, and just to try and magnify God's patience. If we were to go back and think about what God did in the garden, as he created everything for mankind, for Adam and Eve, and he created the whole entire world and all, it's just perfect. I, at work, I strive for perfection, and it never, ever seems to work out. Just my personality, there are little things that will, about my own work, will, you know, ask my wife, but will drive me crazy, because I want perfection, but I'm never, ever going to reach it. I can maybe fool other people into thinking that it is, but it's not. And I usually know every little spot where it's not just quite right. And I've gotten good sometimes at hiding little things. God's creation was 100% perfect. There wasn't a single thing out of place. Everything worked in harmony. It was exactly the way that he designed it. And he places a man and a woman in the garden. And he speaks to them and he gives them directions. He says, here's this, you can enjoy this. And here's this tree, you can enjoy this tree. And the fruit that it's going to give. And you have all these things to enjoy. And he goes on and he gives them more directions. He says, but of this one, I don't want you to touch it or take of it. God gave very clear words. And just in complete rejection of the directions that God gave his word, and in complete rejection of what God spoke, Adam and Eve sinned. Because of that rejection of God's word, it plunged the whole world into sin. It ruined an entire creation because they rejected God's word. Maybe at the time it didn't seem like a very big thing, but it was massive. They rejected God's word. God's patience. The God of patience. Something that was perfect, and man ruined it. And then you think of God's patience in and over the course of time. And opportunity after opportunity is given. Humanity continues on. God had shown patience at the beginning, and they continue on, and you think about the flood. God could have wiped the whole thing clean. Didn't he give man another opportunity? And all, as we, you can review the whole thing, and just thinking over the course of human history, and it's going to, right to the end of time, all the times that God intervened, God gave an opportunity. The God of patience. All these times that God intervened, and what did man do? Every opportunity God gave, they rejected it. You could almost say they just laughed in God's face. How many times is it that maybe God has sent preachers into a certain area, and for the most part, there might have been an individual here and there who accepted it, but for the most part, the communities, the country, and we see it even more now, worse and worse and worse, just rejecting opportunities that God is giving time and again. How many opportunities would you give someone? Sometimes I struggle with one. The God of patience. God now for thousands of years has watched, looked on with love and care and patience and giving opportunities only to get this in response. Rejection. Turning away from his face. Going after sin. Going after their own desires. Again, God didn't just show patience, and he didn't become any less than this, the God of patience. This one's a difficult one. You think about this title, the God of patience, and you think about just for a minute or two, and I'm not going to do it justice. You think about God, the God of patience at Calvary. Can you imagine standing back and watching a loved one And again, God, full clarity. Again, God didn't need glasses. God didn't need glasses to see the intent of these people. God knew they weren't making a mistake. That is, he knew their full intentions. They intended this. They wanted to do harm to this man who had done no harm to them. A harmless one. God knew it all. And can you imagine just standing back and watching as a loved one moves forward? He knew what was coming. I was going to say this at the end, but I'll say it now. You and I sometimes, whenever we think about our own patience, we often think of it in this light that I'm withholding maybe actions, but inside sometimes we can be absolutely boiling. Is that right? You might say, well, I showed patience, but inside you were just a raging animal almost. Right? But I showed patience. In thinking about this, this is what amazed me, is that God wasn't holding back a raging animal inside, and he couldn't wait to get to mankind. Somehow, the two are going hand in hand, God's patience and God's love. Right? And God looked on and watched as men in cruelty and hatred would take his son, and they'd nail him to a cross, laugh in his face, and spit on him. And just they come up with every single thing that they could to just display their hatred. And God would watch as they would outright reject the one that he loved, the one who pleased him perfectly. God of patience, he didn't just show patience, and his character didn't change, even though men would go to the lengths like that. And after he died, laid his own life down, one man came along and couldn't think of anything else to do. How else can I display my hatred? And he rammed a spear into his side. That's how much they hated him. And the God of patience stands back and watches the whole thing. You say, well, in creation, that's really something, that the God of patience, he would watch as someone just outright rejected his word. I would never do that. And we spoke about over the course of time all the opportunities that were given, and man rejected his opportunities. And you say, well, I'd never do something like that. Noah's day, if that was me, I would have gone into the ark. You think about Calvary and you say, I would never, ever do something like that. I would never, ever be the one to thrust a spear into his side. I would never spit on him. What those men did, they've rejected. I'm going to say it again. They've rejected the one that God loved. The God of patience. Now, we're going to bring it right down to you tonight. The God of patience and your choice. God has given direction to you. He's given you his word. He said, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, believe. He said, trust. And up to this point, you have pushed his word away. That is, you have done exactly the same thing that Adam and Eve began with, and that was rejecting his word. I would love to ask for a show of hands, but I'm not going to do it, as to how many were here last Sunday, and who was here the Sunday before. Some might put their hand up, some might not, some might have been here last week. What about the week before? What about the week before that? Or the week before that, you just keep going back and going back, and if you had a really good memory, you put your hand up, and I'm sure that a lot of the people here, they would put their hand up over and over and over again. You think back, how many times have you been in a gospel meeting this year? And last year? And the year before? And who here is 30 plus? who here is 40 plus, 50 plus? And how many times you have been in a gospel meeting, and do you know what God has done? He has done exactly the same thing that he has done over the course of history. And he's given opportunity to you every single time. Do you know what you have done? You have done exactly the same thing about these people, as these people we spoke about. And you've rejected the opportunities that he's given. God of patience, with you and your choice. You say, well, maybe. And Calvary, do you know what you have done really with the gospel message? With the Lord Jesus? You say, well, I would never do what those men did. You have outright rejected the one that God loves. The one that God provided. The one that pleased him. We say this, the one that causes God's heart to swell. And you have outright rejected what is precious to God. That's a God of patience. You've rejected his word, you've rejected his opportunities, you've rejected the ones that he loved, or the one that he loves. This last part, I want you to get it, okay? I want to just leave you with this. The God of patience and its conclusion. You've rejected God at every turn. And say it again, his word, the opportunity, the one that he loved. There's a day coming whenever there's going to be a door shut. Do you know what that door is going to be, that door shutting? That is God's rejection of the sinner that will be outside that door pleading, wanting in. And God is going to reject you. You will have experienced for the last time, at some point, you will have experienced for the last time the God of patience. We sing the hymn, God's patience may weary someday and leave thy sad soul in the blast. I think I can go as far as to say this, that the God of patience, his character is not going to change any. He's still going to be the God of patience, but what you will not experience, you will not be a recipient of that patience. You're going to be outside the door. God is on the other side. Whenever that door closes, I'll ask you this question if you disagree with me. Is God going to cease to be a God of love when the door closes? No. He's still going to be a God with a loving, swelling heart. But you will no longer be a recipient of God's love. Because he gave opportunity and you rejected it. He gave his word and you rejected it. He gave his son. And it comes down to this, you rejected him. You pushed him away. And the God of patience is pleading tonight. He's inviting you to come. I do need to mention it again because I just feel like I don't want to emphasize too much that he's just a God of patience, but somehow going hand in hand with a God of patience is a God of love. And he knows all about you. And he wants you to be with him. The God of patience, but it does tell us in the scriptures again that he's a God of love. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We just give thanks for the character of God. We give thanks for thy love. And we just would give thanks on the behalf of each one here for the patience of God. And this really does make up part of thy character. And so we just pray for blessing in the gospel. We just give thanks for the attentiveness and those that are here. We just pray that they would take us each home safely. And that the end result of the gospel meeting once again would be salvation and a soul reach. We just would commit ourselves to thee now, giving thanks in his name. Amen.